May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." For me, this is one of the most important passages from the Gospel. It's one of the most precious passages in the Bible for me, because it speaks about how God is still active and alive in our world through the power of the Holy Spirit. It speaks about how God, through the power of the Spirit, says to me and to you, as we are today, that we can be greater than we are. I am not limited by who I am at this moment, but God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is working to bring me further into truth. And that truth that I think the Holy Spirit is leading us into is the truth about the unconditional and unending nature of God's love that knows absolutely no limits. But it can be too much for us to bear at times. But the good news is, and the reason why I get up in the morning with a spring in my step, is the sense that the Holy Spirit might that day lead me into yet a newer understanding, a deeper understanding, a bigger sense of how God is calling me to share love and to overcome the prejudice that lurks in my soul. In the parish that I served as rector before I came to St. Andrews, it was up in New Hampshire, Peterborough, New Hampshire, and I arrived there back in 2004 from England. And this was just after Gene Robinson had been elected as the Bishop of New Hampshire, the first openly gay bishop in the Anglican Communion. And by the time I arrived in the parish, the dust had settled a bit. A number of people had left the parish, and there'd been some discord in the parish. There was one gentleman who I was told had been particularly ferocious in his criticism of the bishop before he left, and had even been on the television and said some pretty harsh things that you wouldn't want your children to hear about the bishop. After I'd been there about 6 or 7 months, I got a telephone call from a couple who had left the parish, and they asked if they could come and see me. And of course I said, love to meet with you. And I arranged to get together with them later that week. After I'd put down the phone, the parish administrator said to me, "You know who that was, don't you?" Nope. That is the man who was so outspoken in front of the news in what he said about the bishop and about people of his persuasion. So later that week, this older gentleman and his very elegant wife arrived to come and see me. He was a gravelly-voiced man who I learned had been a lieutenant in the Marines during the Korean War, commanded a platoon, and he spoke with a gravelly kind of voice. And he said, told me how he and his wife had moved to a breakaway parish, called an Anglican parish. And this is very confusing because globally, Anglican churches outside America that are part of our communion are called Anglican churches. But here in America, churches that break away from the Episcopal Church call themselves Anglican. So it's a bit problematic. But here in America, it means, you know, churches that tend to reject people who are homosexual often have problems with women's ordination and those sorts of things. So anyway, the man told me that they'd moved to this small parish, and they'd been there for about a year, and they'd really just kind of not liked it. It was kind of very inward-looking. It had a kind of a negative approach. They really missed the richness of the music and liturgy at All Saints in Peterborough, a brilliant church, may I say. But I also had the sense that his wife had kind of pushed him and said, I'm sick of this. I want to go back to the church where all my friends are and where my home was. And so they said to me, would it be okay if they started coming back to All Saints? As long as that didn't imply that they approved of the election of the bishop. And I said, absolutely. You are most welcome. And part of that is because I have always believed that the Episcopal Church or any church should be a big tent, as wide and big as possible, including people who are progressive and conservative theologically and politically. I would hate us just to be an echo chamber where we just heard our own voices echoed back. I believe that the Holy Spirit moves and teaches and leads us through discussion and often through talking with people who we don't necessarily agree with. Wouldn't it be good if we did a bit more of that in our country today instead of living in echo chambers? I believe that the Holy Spirit acts through us having to wrestle with things so that we're led into all truth. So anyway, this couple started coming to church, and the gentleman started coming to my weekly Bible study. And I was kind of relieved by this because it was me and 12 feisty, strong-willed women. So I was pretty pleased to have at least one guy on my side. They started coming to the 8 o'clock service, and eventually the gentleman asked if he could become... he'd been a LEM before, a lay Eucharistic minister, and he wanted to ask if he could become a lay Eucharistic minister again, and I said, absolutely. He knew that each month I went to a number of different nursing homes to take communion on a regular basis to people, and he eventually said, hey, can I come with you and be your lay Eucharistic minister there? And, it's kind of nice to think of him in a way on this Father's Day because, you know, in a way we had a bit of a father-son relationship. I mean, what I learned was that we had lived, when I was a boy, we moved to Wilton, Connecticut for 5 years with my dad's job. And I discovered that he and his family had lived in Wilton at the same time. We'd gone to the same church and his kids were my age and had been in the same school. I mean, small world. I didn't know them, but... you know, that's the way the Episcopal Church is. But in this Bible study, it was just a remarkable thing, this weekly Bible study. It really fed me spiritually, rather like the monthly men's Bible study here feeds me. Because we would wrestle with the text. And in particular, we would wrestle with the question, are there limits to God's love? That would seem to be the particular kind of lens that we looked at all the different passages with. And these women were remarkable in the way that they would witness from their own lives about how they had experienced God's love in a way that had continually pushed them and pushed them and pushed them to greater acceptance of people who they felt, you know, at one stage in their lives, you know, perhaps, you know, weren't quite in the club. And they learned that the club was bigger and bigger and bigger. And then one day, I received a letter from the gentleman. This is the letter. I've kept this. I actually keep all the letters all of you send me. One of the tricks that one of my spiritual mentors, priestly mentors, said to me is always have a drawer at the top of your desk in which you keep all the great letters you receive over your ministry so that when you have a really lousy day and someone's really on your case, you can open that drawer and see all the letters of appreciation and then think, okay, I may not be so bad after all. He wrote this letter, and it's one of the most startling letters that I've ever received. And he himself said, I have been startled to discover that I now realize that I have been completely wrong in my attitude towards gay people. I've been wrong all my life. And he wrote, I used to think that gay people were different and, to quote, open for scorn and ridicule. And he said, I've now learned through particularly that participation in that Bible study that I was wrong all my life. Prejudices, though, die slowly. And one of the reasons why I keep this letter at the top of my piles of letters in that drawer is a reminder to me that I still have a way to go. I don't know particularly, you know, as I think about my life today, I can't think of any particular prejudices that I'm woke up to, but I'm sure that they're there. And I'm sure that one day I'll wake up and the Holy Spirit will be pushing me yet again to wake up to a prejudice. And you know what? I find it exciting and enlivening, because it means that life will never be boring and there's yet one more thing to overcome, to become a bigger version of myself, the version of myself that Christ wants me to come. And that's the same for all of you. It's the same for each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit is moving around us to challenge us to be greater versions of the version we are. And we may think, there are some things in my heart and soul I can never overcome. And if it were just down to your willpower, that would probably be the case. But the promise is that it's the Holy Spirit who will be with you to give you the grace and power to be that better person. Amen.
Amen. Amen.